It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, friends. Welcome inside the drive home after Ole Miss football's 45-10 dominating win over Tulane. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben on Twitter, co-publisher at Rebel Grove. Sign up today. It's an affiliate of 1-3 on 3 for just $1. This is Brad Logan. He's a contributor with me at Rebel Grove. And like I said, Brad, a dominating, commanding win for the Ole Miss Rebels over Tulane, who many thought, including Lane Kiffin, as he said this week, an SEC quality opponent. And Ole Miss absolutely dominated them, and Trinidad Chambliss continues to impress. Your impressions immediately after Ole Miss gets its fourth win of the year to move to 4-0.
You know, at the end of the game, we always kind of meet in the southwest corner of the stadium, and I had a chance to visit with another media member, and I leaned over and I said, I didn't expect Tulane to be this bad. And then they leaned over and said, maybe it's not that they're so bad. Maybe Ole Miss has improved tremendously over last week, specifically in the first half to the second half, and how well the Rebels played here today. I think it was another big day for Trinidad Chambliss, not only through the air but on the ground. The best pass, Ben, I looked up at you in the press box, and it was in the first quarter, maybe in the second quarter, but it was the pass right across the middle towards that northwestern sideline to Deuce Wallace. And to me, that was the best pass of the day. Of course, we saw the man who am I getting at? Here, Trey Wallace dropped the touchdown pass.
That was a tough one.
That was a beautiful throw.
He came in as the third leading receiver in the SEC to Trey Wallace. And yes, that was a bad drop. But otherwise, an impressive showing from Trinidad Chambliss. He finished with 114 rushing yards to lead Ole Miss. Again, the second week in a row, leading Ole Miss in rushing. This was a different kind of performance compared to last week, which was 62 yards. He went over the century mark this week. And then in the passing game, 17 for 27, an efficient 307 yards, 2 touchdowns. And the most important thing that Lane Kiffin noted in his postgame, he's not turning the ball over.
Yeah.
That's one thing we knew about Trinidad Chambliss in fall camp. While it was Austin Simmons as the unquestioned starter, Trinidad Chambliss did have the confidence of the locker room. They saw his development. And one thing he did better than Austin Simmons in the preseason and fall camp was not turn the ball over. And that's carried over so far in his two starts. And here's the thing. Here's the bottom line, Ole Miss fans tuning in right now, including Kenny Skelton, who said a Rebel win and also found out my wife is pregnant. Mazel tov. What a night. Absolutely. I don't know if it's your first, second, third, or whatever. My 13-year-old daughter, Gracie, or my oldest daughter, Gracie, turned 13 today. So all of us have got things to celebrate. For you, the Ole Miss fan, most importantly, is probably the Ole Miss win. But congrats to you, Kenny. My sweet daughter, Gracie, I love you. Happy birthday. And Trinidad Chambliss is the quarterback until Austin Simmons is healthy. And once he becomes healthy, then it's let the best man win. Because at the end of the day, folks, what matters most of all is who gives you the best chance in a wide-open SEC to earn a college football playoff berth.
Yeah, what we learned today, a couple of things. Number one, game day is not coming to Oxford next week. They're going to Happy Valley. It's Penn State and Oregon in the top 10 matchup. But we do know the game is at 2:30. And, Ben, I thought it was a pretty good little back and forth there when I think it was Sam Hutchins that asked Lane Kiffin, hey, by the way, what are your thoughts on the 2:30 kickoff? He says, oh, it's pretty simple. If it were in Baton Rouge, it'd be a night game.
It was.
Since it's up here, it's a 2:30 game. He says, I expect the Georgia game to be a night game. So that was a pretty interesting quip there by Lane Kiffin. But what jumps out to me is that the Rebels are 4-0, 2-0 in the conference. And how they've gotten here, I mean, we'll dissect that all week long. But at the end of the day, when the season started, spring football, you got the schedule, you looked at everything. The only way to have that special season or have a chance to was to get to 4-0. And I felt like that this game would be much tighter. I think it's a combination of you know, Tulane maybe didn't play as well as they would have liked to have had. But I think this Ole Miss defense really took a step forward. Just a little over 100 yards passing today. Now, Tulane's quarterback is not going to, you know, just knock your socks off throwing the football. But I thought he was better than he showed today. And the Rebels just a really good job. We didn't talk about it much in the press conference, but I wanted to ask, didn't have time to ask the question. William Echols, very surprised at how much he is around the football. And one quick thing about the defensive front, I thought Ole Miss was great today. They just need to get home. Yeah. They pressured Zach Reslof all day. Could not really, for the most part, get him to the ground a lot. But I thought it was a big day for Ole Miss defensively, specifically in the secondary. I think Kite's a big-time player. You can continue to kind of evolve. But at the end of the day, when you don't allow just that amount of passing yards right at 109, 110, it's a good day.
Kenny says it's his first child. Even better. Congratulations. That's absolutely awesome. KJ is just KJ's joining us. Says Simmons needs another year. You only start him if you don't have a better option. The bottom line is this. You have the luxury of waiting for him to get healthy because Trinidad Chambliss is performing so well. He's doing exactly as you expect him to do, as Chuck Brownsville tries to beep in on my post-game show. Chuck, I'll get to you in a second.
Just a minute, Chuck.
We're doing the drive home after Ole Miss beats up on Tulane 45-10, and you're right. I expected a more competitive game. Lane Kiffin likened Tulane to an SEC-quality opponent. Jake Retzliff, all week, I did Cole Kublik and Greg McElroy's show, and they're like, do you think Ole Miss is aware that this team can really beat you? Yes, they're prepared for that. And Jake Retzliff was considered by many to be a similar dual threat like Talen Green. But Ole Miss started answering the call after a porous, disastrous, probably the worst two quarters back-to-back that Ole Miss has played defense under Pete Golden that first half against Arkansas. They bounced back and absolutely dominated a Tulane team and Jake Retzliff, who and showed that there's growth there too. They understood the assignment. They bounced back and improved, and they actually accounted for the quarterback. And I thought the most impressive thing is he couldn't get a pass off. You're right, though. He only completed two passes one pass in the first half.
Yeah, at one point he didn't have –
he was 0-for-8. Yeah. Like, he didn't complete his first pass at Retzliff until like 4 minutes into the second quarter. Ole Miss absolutely dominated this game. And the defense is a big reason why, because of the way they responded and bounced back from those first two disastrous quarters against Arkansas, where they gave up 28 points and 335 yards, started to turn the worm there in the second half, only gave up 7 points against Arkansas. But this one was a full-on team-wide effort, protected the football. And I thought the biggest – and it won't get talked about enough – back-to-back-to-back in the second half, fourth down stops for the defense, right, which is essentially turnovers.
Yep.
While they're not getting sacks, right, not getting home, they need more from Prince Willie Monmielen. They need more from Deshaun Womack. They got to get them home. Fourth down and to get just those three consecutive stops or three straight stops. I mean, those are turnovers unto themselves. So still got some things to get better with. But, man, what an encouraging performance for them.
We saw a couple of new faces on defense. The linebacker transfer from Grambling. Help me out, man. Andrew Jones.
Andrew Jones finally got out of the doghouse,
yeah,
and into the defensive backfield or offensive backfield of Tulane. Got a pressure, yeah, showed up a little bit. He's going to be one I'm keeping an eye on, but I think they really figured out something on defense. I really do. Because the secondary settled in. Antonio Kite, Pete Golding has done it again. He got a cast off from another SEC school and turned him into an all-league caliber player. I don't know if he's going to be an All-American like Trey Amos, but how good he's been so far. Wydette Williams is really coming on, especially the last 2 weeks. You still got to figure out some things with the front seven, specifically getting to the rushing passer. But now that they're facing more traditional pocket passers like a Garrett Nussmeier instead of these two dual threats, maybe Sunterian, who's been relegated to spying on these two dual threats, will finally get to use his superpower.
I will say this. You know, early on, Sunterian Perkins was only playing first and second down, and they were pulling him out on third down. We saw in the latter parts of the game, or at least the second half, that I noticed it may have been more than that, but he was playing on third down, and that's who needs to be on the field, even if you hold him on first and second down. I'd like to see some more from Deshaun Wilmot.
Yeah, I have to. He's not showing up yet. I mean, this is the problem he had at LSU. He looks like $1 million, and, man, a great practice player, but can it translate? And so far, it's a muted production that he had at LSU that led him, a former five-star prospect recruit, to transfer out. LSU wasn't going to just give up on a pass rusher like that unless he had his warts, and those warts, unfortunately, have not been cleared up at Ole Miss yet.
Talked about Will Echols, big game. Cam Franklin, once again, he needs to get home more, but he's putting great pressure on that offensive line.
Four QB pressures today for him.
It was. But a big day for Jaden Yates. I mean, he just kind of gets thrown out with the bathwater sometimes about, you know, maybe he's not big enough, maybe he's not doing what he needs to do. Well, today he led the team in tackles, had 11 total tackles, had a half. He was credited with a half tackle for loss. I thought it was a good day for him. Once again, Ben, not to be too critical of T.J. Dottery because he made a big play at the end of the Arkansas game last week, but I thought he needs to be a little bit better. He got blocked a lot today.
T.J. Dottery is my dude. He's a great guy. I know that his heart's in the right place, but it's more popcorn stats than anything right now. And what I mean by that is this. When you look at a dude who's got, like, super crazy muscles, crazy, but, like, he really can't lift anything. I don't know any of this because I'm just a pale ginger Shrek. But I'm saying the people out there that, like, look like $1 million, but really they can't lift weight, those are popcorn muscles. Right now he's getting some popcorn stats because you're right. He's not the same, you know, around the ball tackle. I mean, he's just getting blocked up pretty way easier than he needs to be right now. But, again, you can live and die with that when you have good performances out of a guy like William Eccles, who wrote about him in my snap judgments on Rebel Grove, signed up today for $1. William Eccles is turning into an all-league caliber player. Honestly, he and Cam Franklin are anchoring this front right now because the guys that they need, like Prince Will and Deshaun Womack, even Xavier Harris taking some plays off. I mean, I think the world of Xavier Harris. I think he's an NFL player. But when they cut on his tape for the next level, one thing they're going to notice is him taking some plays off. Last week, had to, like, come out of the game because he was just war slap out. It's part of it. But, like, there are things, each one of these guys, they have their warts that they have to figure out. But, man, William Eccles finishing second on the team in tackles with 8 at defensive tackle. That's doing some Walter Nolan-like work, even broke up a pass.
Yeah.
So if we're going to go ahead and start giving out helmet stickers, there's my first one. Spoiler alert. William Eccles, a former 4-star prospect, contended in that class with Cam Franklin to be the number one prospect in Mississippi. He is playing like it. Through 4 games, he's their best defensive lineman.
We'll give out stickers in just a moment. Before we do, I want to thank our good friends at Allen Samuels here in Oxford. They do a wonderful job. They can be your car dealership today. They're, of course, located just west of a Kroger on top of the hill on the left. Go by and see Mason and tell him how much you enjoyed hearing about him today on the drive home. A big day today. Ole Miss wins big over Tulane, 45-10. And really, that 10 was a garbage touchdown late in the game. Ole Miss is 4-0, 2-0 in the conference. They've got LSU coming up next week. That's, of course, at 2:30 right here in Oxford. That's going to be on ABC. Before we get to game balls, a quick update. Austin Simmons was asked, or should I say Lane was asked about Austin Simmons today, and he very frankly said he could have come into the game and that he would not elaborate when asked about the starting quarterback for next week.
He's not going to be the starting quarterback. And he's not going to be the starting quarterback.
Well, I mean, Lane's not going to give anything away.
Here's the thing. He said this week to start. That man, we saw Austin Simmons, everybody saw it, re-aggravate his ankle in the win last week over Arkansas.
When he went into the end zone, he was tackled by the ankle.
He was dressed today. He was warming up all throughout the game.
He was warming up.
Yeah.
He was running.
But the bottom line is, if they can avoid him, they will. They have the luxury of waiting and getting him fully healthy because Trinidad is playing so well. Also, by itself, Trinidad has earned another opportunity. If you want to just base it on the merits, the first 2 games were 4 interceptions compared to no interceptions or turnovers for Trinidad Chambliss, and he's brought the rushing element at that position that Jackson Dart did. Maybe even to a more efficient way. I mean, he averaged almost 8 yards a carry today. Now, LSU is a step up. You're getting a top 10 matchup here in Oxford, Mississippi. Unfortunately, not a night game, which, again, Lane loved to poke fun of. He's right. They should be getting the night game, but we'll learn a lot more. But for now, the answer is simple. Trinidad Chambliss is the starting quarterback for Ole Miss. It has nothing to do with Austin Simmons other than Austin get healthy. At the end of the day, if the leash for Trinidad will be the same as it is for Austin, whoever gives you the best opportunity in a wide-open SEC to get a college football playoff berth, that's who you play. And right now, all systems are go with Trinidad Chambliss. And until Austin Simmons is healthy and can really put up a realistic fight, it's not even a conversation worth having. Lane's always going to say, I anticipate Austin Simmons being the starter. And you know what that means? Of course he anticipates Austin Simmons being the starter. What that really means is he doesn't know. That's what that is. He doesn't know yet. That's his way. That's the Lane Kiffin-ese of I don't know. And maybe he does start next week and surprises everyone. But just like I said last week after he said we'll see about next week, Trinidad Chambliss will start against LSU. And he should because he's earned it, and Austin Simmons just needs to get healthy.
Luke Haas sighting tonight, Ben. I thought he blocked really, really well. He's not credited with a catch, or I don't think they even targeted him at all. But he was very pivotal when he was in the game. I thought he blocked really well. Caleb Odom, we saw him in the fourth quarter, so it was nice to see him. I've got my first helmet sticker. It's going to go to tight end Daquan Wright. He made some great catches today. Not only that, but once he gets the ball, he tucks it, and he gets up the field. And I really liked what I saw today from Daquan Wright. Three catches, 71 yards, and had the touchdown, had that long of 53 yards.
I've already given away my first helmet sticker to William Eccles. He deserves it. He finished second on the team in tackles at defensive tackle. That man is filling the shoes of one Walter Nolan, who was the first pick of all Ole Miss football Rebels in last spring's NFL draft with 17 overall to the Arizona Cardinals. So my first helmet sticker is already out the door to William Eccles. He deserves it, and he just keeps getting better and better and better. Remember, he was a midseason freshman All-American, according to On3, last year. This isn't a surprise. This is a guy stepping up and answering the bell as Ole Miss needed him to, especially considering how much they're replacing up front. But my second one, Deuce Alexander.
Yeah.
Deuce Alexander is a great encapsulation of how good Lane Kiffin and that staff are at identifying lesser-known transfers, mining lesser transfers for gold. He is a great example of this. Jordan Watkins didn't get the same transfer run as other guys in his class, and look how productive he got. Deuce Alexander has real, real juice to him. And they saw it on tape when they were evaluating transfer options. They said, this is a player who's just in the wrong offense for a skill set. And now that he's in this wide-open passing offense, he's really impressive with his hands at the catch point, gets great separation, has a real competitive edge to him. And how about Lane Kiffin alley-ooping the ball up to him for the sideline dunk after Deuce Alexander leads Ole Miss with four catches, 94 yards, and the touchdown, the final touchdown for Ole Miss to go up 45-3. Deuce Alexander in a loaded wide receiver room. And it's really hard for a lot of those wide receivers right now. They're used to getting the ball more.
Yeah.
With Trinidad Chambliss under center, you're going to continue to see the run-heaviest variation of Lane Kiffin's offense that you've seen in 6 years at Ole Miss. So there's going to have to be some patience and some swallowing of some pride. And when you get your opportunity, take it. And Deuce Alexander got the opportunities today, deserves a helmet sticker. And what a find he has been, and proven again that Lane Kiffin and them are operating at a different level than everybody else in the portal with getting another stud from a Wake Forest in Deuce Alexander.
My next game ball is going to the offensive line, and here's why. The offensive line are a lot like college basketball officials. You only see them when you're mad at them.
Yep.
They're making mistakes.
Yep.
Offensive line did a really good job today. They created a nice pocket for Trinidad Chambliss, opening up a number of rushing lanes. Here's what I think about the offensive line. I'd like your thoughts on this. It feels like to me that first game, Patrick Kudus had not played very much. He wore a black jersey all preseason camp, came in and had a rough first half against Georgia State. He played really good today. I specifically watched him. I don't know that we had any holding fouls on either team for holding, did we?
Maybe not a lot of penalties.
Not a lot of penalties. If they did, forgive me. But I don't remember seeing an offensive holding foul on Ole Miss. So I think the offensive line did a really good job today. Bryson Sanders, nobody's talking about him. But if you remember, media day over here, when we met with the offensive line, you know, I asked him, and I know you met with him, and we all talked to him and said, you know, what do you think about the offensive line? He says, I would love to be the guy. Everybody thought he was going to be the guy, but a lot of talk was Patrick Kudus Bryson Sanders would not be able to get it done at center. Patrick Kudus would move from right guard to center.
I was hearing some of that last week.
Well, as late as last week,
that eventually Patrick Kudus is going to take his job, and yet, yeah, Bryson Sanders continues.
I thought he played well today.
Yep. The interior of the offensive line really figured something out with Delano Townsend at left guard.
Yeah.
And they made that move against Kentucky, replacing P.J.
Completely changed the – I don't know that that move made the difference in the game, but it kind of changed after that.
It's multifold.
Yeah.
Another fold is – it's a run-heavy variation of Lane Kiffin's offense with Trinidad Chambliss under center. And they've always been, if you look at analytics, whatever you judge this stuff off of, that group has always been actually a pretty good run-blocking group. It's the pass protection where they've fallen off. That first game against Georgia State, four of their bottom seven graded players on offense were their starting offensive linemen. There was nowhere else to go but up. But they figured it out, and Lane's playing to his strengths, right? He's not dropping Trinidad back. Like, you're not going to see Trinidad open with seven straight passes like you did the first game, whatever it was with Austin, right? They're going to run the ball. Even when they get big plays, they get a 53-yarder from DeJuan Stribling, which was underthrown, but he was so wide open it didn't matter. Trinidad Chambliss's throw was able to escape a defender. Maybe against LSU that gets picked off, but Stribling's wide open, makes the adjustments, 53 yards. And after that, five straight runs, including a couple of Keywon Lacy direct snaps, which have replaced essentially J.J. Pegues' short yardage stuff. So you're right. I think that they're playing to their strengths and relying on what they do well. And what that offensive line does well, and the reason you've seen the success and it continue to build, is they're running it down people's throat.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You still have the goal line package where you bring a couple of defensive linemen in to block. And by the way, Delano Townsend came in on a goal line play. I thought he destroyed a linebacker. that was really interesting to watch. I'm not going to give a helmet sticker to Kwon Lacy, but I want to say this. He didn't have a huge day on the ground, but I thought he ran really hard. Hits yards after contact.
Yep.
I haven't looked those up, but they have to be pretty good. I mean, he runs really, really hard. My third helmet sticker, by the way, is going to a collective group of the Ole Miss secondary. Also could kind of go to Pete Golding because the team has been completely different after this halftime speech, whatever happened at halftime. I don't know if there's any paint left in that room, but he peeled it all.
See, like, I know Peyton Manning said that, like, halftime adjustments are always the biggest lies in football. You know, I'm usually drinking a juice box. But that Lane did say in his press conference that Pete convened the defense like on Sunday and brought them all together to address, do we really want to revert or do we want to continue to build on what we built last year, which was a, you know, historic defense. So you're right. I mean, there was a come to Jesus and he definitely changed the trajectory of this defense, you know, come second half at Arkansas and then continued on today.
Yeah. But anyway, a game ball definitely going to the secondary. I thought it was a nice day. Now look, let's not, you know, Jake Retzlaff's not going to light the world on fire, but I mean,
going in.
Yeah, I mean, everything. I mean, he surprised me. I mean, I didn't realize he would be that poor. I think a lot of that is the Ole Miss defensive front, and it's a lot of the secondary.
They forced him to throw. They accounted for him on read options, and it turns out he is a lesser version of Taylen Green.
And I will say this: I keep harping on the defensive line has not been able to get home. They're creating a lot of havoc with the quarterback situation with Ratliff and throwing the ball away and that sort of thing. We have a lot of questions, and I apologize. We've been kind of rambling.
No, it's perfect because it's the post game. Because my third helmet sticker, I was going to give it to Chris Graves because Chris Graves, they've been waiting for him to come on for 2 years.
I'm glad you did that because he did. He played well today.
But it goes into what you talked about, the collective secondary, because, man, he's really solidified things opposite Antonio Kite on the boundary.
Yeah.
And he had a good PBU on the first offensive series for Tulane. He's really been very active. I mean, if Chris Graves is coming on, what a big answer he would be. So I like that pick. So my third one then is going to Lucas Caniero.
Yeah.
There's a reason, folks, that this man, along with Centarian Perkins, were one of the only two preseason All-Americans for Ole Miss football. That kid is legit. And Lane Kiffin is always going to defer or be sympathetic towards making the decision that aligns with the analytics book on fourth and short, or if a score or kicking a field goal only takes a score from 3 points to 6 points, he's going for it. He's going with the analytics book. But what a weapon to have in Lucas Caniero, that as long as you get to that Ole Miss logo at midfield, you got a shot. Because that 54-yarder, which tied a career long, could have been good from 60.
Yeah,
he has been everything and more. He's a weapon that and listen, Lane's done great with finding kickers. Caden Davis was awesome. But this is the best of the bunch. And for him
– and that's saying something.
Yeah.
Caden Davis is legit.
So while Lane will always defer to the analytics book, he does play the feel of the game too. And he knows in his back pocket he's got a kicker that can absolutely boot it. So, Lucas, you get my last summit, sir.
And by the way, real quick, 22-yard field goal, 54, which is a career long, and then 33. And not to be left out, Oscar Byrd Ole Miss punted today, and it was a bomb. It was a 55-yarder. So the good news,
the Australian pipeline,
they will have to punt at some point, a lot more than it is today. And then, so a big kick today. 54 yards, on the South Harvest 55. So a really big one today. Once again, a lot of people talking about Chambliss and Simmons. Well, you know, if you just jumped in, this is Austin Simmons' team. The best thing that can happen.
Is it, though? Why does he get that deference? I'm not trying to knock the kid. I'm just saying. My question moving forward.
Okay.
The bottom line is this. Trinidad Chambliss is the starter until Austin Simmons can get healthy and put up a fight.
Lane said today he could have come in. He did not. He was not 100%. Lane said that.
And until he's 100%, you have the luxury of leaving him on the sideline to get healthy.
Right.
Nothing has changed about how they feel about Austin Simmons. But the bottom line is Trinidad Chambliss has done everything in the way that you've asked him to do. And if he continues to stack wins, like say he comes and beats LSU next week, how do you replace him? How do you replace him? You know what I mean? When you figured out a formula that's working for this particular Ole Miss team. Because, listen, I understand what people are going to say. But wait a second. If he takes Austin's job, will Austin enter the portal? Dude, this is the here and now.
Right.
You're here to try to get to the college football playoff and then be one of the final two teams and go for that championship. And in a wide open college football landscape, pick me out the good teams, buddy. Who's to say Ole Miss has just as much a case as anybody? Most everyone, including me, thought this would be a single-digit game because of how bad the defense was against Arkansas, and they just absolutely beat up on a team that was a non or out of conference, like lower level darling from the national media in Tulane. Yeah. So if Trinidad Chambliss continues to check boxes and continues to stack wins, it's his job. I don't know why this is complicated. But Austin Simmons, like, he's going to have a say. He just doesn't have to have it now. Right now, just get healthy. Get healthy.
Out of the non-Power 4 teams coming into the game today, and I don't use the word Tulane. I don't use the team Tulane. Who else is the collective college football world talking about? Memphis? Memphis beat Arkansas today.
And that's just – man, Talen Green is a good player.
He's a great
player. Sam Pittman is toast. They probably don't fire him in season because then all your kids can be let go to being transfer out right when you fire him. But he's toast. I mean, who are the best teams in college football? I mean, you would probably pick Miami. I don't know what's going on with Florida. Have they even kicked off yet? I picked Florida to upset them, actually, because it would be the most obvious or comical result or perfect result for this crazy college football season because parity reigns. So if you're Lane Kiffin, you don't have to make any decisions. You say, hey, Austin, get healthy. You're our guy, which he is. And if you come back and have the better week of practice leading up to so-and-so, so be it. Maybe Trinidad Chambliss, I mean, he's done it back-to-back weeks, but maybe he face plants against LSU. Nothing is guaranteed or promised, but right here now. And right here now, Ole Miss is 4-0, and two of those wins are off of turnover-less games by Trinidad Chambliss, who looks like he's really got something. He's led you in rushing in back-to-back weeks. Today, that was the difference. And yes, Austin can run, but they're running and designing offense specifically for this runner that they're not doing for Austin.
And look, the best case scenario for Ole Miss, in my opinion, is you enter the game against Georgia, you enter the game against Oklahoma. Let's hypothetically say you're right. Trinidad Chambliss leads Ole Miss to the win over LSU next week, and Ole Miss is 5-0 and 3-0 in the conference. Then you've got, is it Washington State before you hit the Oklahoma and the Georgia? Yeah. So then you give Austin another week to get ready against Washington State, and then you've got the two biggest games in the schedule. And at that point, you could lose one of those games. But the best-case scenario for Ole Miss is they have two really good quarterbacks on the roster, Ben. And who's the starter, really? And we get involved in the starting quarterback, and we get all that. But at the end of the day, what difference does it make?
It doesn't.
If you're undefeated, who cares?
It doesn't matter. Like, Trinidad Chambliss has done exactly what you needed him to do. Actually, He's exceeded those expectations. So that's the luxury of, all right, Austin, get healthy. And then once that happens, let the best man win. For now, it's not a question. This isn't a quarterback controversy. Austin, just get healthy. Because you look at the SEC, who's the best team? Who's the best team?
Oklahoma beat Auburn today.
But they didn't knock you over.
Absolutely knocked down, drag out.
Didn't bowl you over.
What's going on with Texas? I think Georgia's really good.
Yeah. But they can let you down.
LSU will learn a lot about LSU coming up next week here in town. What about Ole Miss? Mississippi State's undefeated.
Yeah.
I think the sky's the limit. We'll learn a lot over the next couple of weeks.
The SEC is absolutely wide open, and that's why you play it practice to practice, day to day, week to week, game day Saturday. And right now, it's not a question. Trinidad's going to be that guy, and he deserves it. I mean, again, 14 carries, 114 yards. I think I did the math. In two games, he's accounted for over 830 yards of offense, with five touchdowns, I think, and no turnovers. Mm-hmm. That's as good as it gets.
Lane talked about protecting the football. It's tough to beat that, Ben.
Yeah, it's impossible. Like, yeah. Just don't turn the ball over. And that's what made him such a good, viable candidate for them to begin with. And speaking of the SEC and looking around the way, like, if you're Ole Miss, you have to feel good about your realistic chances to make a run, even at Oklahoma, which I had as written down as a loss.
Me too.
In the preseason.
Yeah, me too.
Looks gettable. John Mateer is probably the Heisman front runner, but that says more about what the field is right now. Right, no one really wants that award, it seems like, right now. Maybe Carson Beck is that guy. But there is no team in the SEC, that, or even Georgia in Athens, which is the toughest assignment you can draw. Ole Miss should have a chance in every game they play if they play that kind of defense and they have a quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over. Because they figured out the formula. They know who they are. And defensively, I'm really impressed with what they figured out. That secondary is pretty well settled. Mm-hmm. It's settled law at this point. Antonio Kite, Chris Graves at your corners. Your safeties are Sage Ryan, Wydette Williams, and Kapina Gushkin. And the rest are rotating in. I think they figured out exactly who they are. Yep. And if the results continue to be what they are, wins, Ole Miss is going to be right there in contention for a college football playoff berth.
You know, Ben, I've been a part of a lot covering Ole Miss football over the last couple of years. This has by far been one of the most enjoyable things I've done. A lot of people have come up to me and said how much they enjoy the live stream at the end of the games. We have nothing but you to thank for watching and interacting. It's going crazy as we're live on all the social channels and, of course, on YouTube. Could not do it without our friends at Allen Samuels, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. I got it right. Y'all know where it is. It's on top of the hill, just past Kroger on the left. Go by and see Mason today and tell him you heard about it on the drive home. We appreciate that very much. Big day today for Ole Miss. They've got exactly what you, the viewer, has wanted all year long. At the end of the bowl game, everybody looked, okay, Ole Miss needs to be 4-0 heading into the game against LSU. Well, guess what? You got your wish. 2:30 right out here next week, and we'll have everything for you covered at the conclusion of that game. Ben and I will be with you for post-game as the drive home. We'll take you home next week as well.
Fate says they play that defense and that kind of offense. Ole Miss has more than a chance against everyone. I absolutely agree.
Yep.
Absolutely agree. Defensively, they figured something out. Trinidad Chambliss isn't turning the ball over. I want to do a stock report to get out of here, okay? Just guys whose stock are rising, falling, whatever it might be. I think obvious stock up is Trinidad Chambliss for what he's done so far. We've already gone through the stats. But give me somebody that maybe isn't so obvious whose stock continues to climb. William Eccles would be one of them. We touched on that.
Okay, you stole me on there. I think William Eccles is somebody that's exciting to see do a really much better, at least over the last couple of games. But Chris Graves Jr., Ben, I mean, he just kind of jumped off the page today. Antonio Kite's kind of been there where we've kind of expected him. But it was really nice. I think my final one today, my star rise, is Daquan Wright. He's someone that came into the season, had a huge year last year. This may be the Daquan Wright coming out party. He had a really nice game today. We'll see what happens next week.
Stock down. Damian Taylor can't fumble that ball. They need you in short yardage. And when you get your opportunities, there's only one ball, and they've got a lot of playmakers to feed. Can't have that happen. And Kewon Lacy's not going to give up carries very much either. Another stock up for me, you know Chris Graves, Willie Meckles we've talked about, Trinidad Chambliss, of course. I'm going to say Patrick Kutis because the man has been put through the ringer.
I agree.
Through the first 3 weeks, give the man some credit. I don't know what the grading will be. It's still not as pretty as it needs to be. But like we said after Georgia State, I wanted to give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. It was a bad start. Patrick Kutis hadn't played, practiced, done anything. I mean, there was going to be some real rush for like a full calendar year. Mm-hmm. So the fact that that group has come together after him having to wear it for a couple of weeks, give him a stock up, man, because he deserves a lot of credit for and just the whole offensive line, like you touched on that front, doing great things for Ole Miss.
Real quick before we get out of here, two names we haven't talked about, Diego Pounds and
SEC reigning SEC offensive lineman of the week, Diego Pounds.
And Jaden Williams, the right tackle. Did a great job today. Did not allow a sack, and we've not talked about the bookend tackles. Nice job today by both those guys.
Last stock down. I don't want to end it on a negative note, so I won't. But like Deshaun Watson and Prince Willie Von Miellen, finish the play. Finish.
Get home.
Get home.
Yeah. Although, and I'll do a little stock up. Although I think being a little bit hard on them about needing to get home, I thought they created a lot of problems in that two-lane backfield, kind of really disrupting Jake Resloff in the backfield. So, nice job.
got to get home, got to make the sack, and I think that's coming.
If you had to do like SEC power rankings, now that we've kind of seen, not all Saturday is done, but Ole Miss is a part of it. Like, where would you, like, I'd rank them at worst like fifth.
Yeah, I mean, upper thirds. I mean, you look at teams like Alabama that have kind of come back after last week. You look at Georgia, who knows with Texas, LSU, and I think that's when you start talking about Ole Miss. And then until Mississippi State loses, I think you throw them in there. Tennessee played well last week against Georgia, so I think they'll be there. We'll learn a lot about State next week when they face Tennessee at home. That'll be a huge game in Starkville. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's upper half right now, Ben. I'd say somewhere around four or five.
Jackson Williams wants to know, why did Pete Golding rush three for, like, the whole first half? Because they were forcing Jake Retzlaff to throw.
Right, and you see what happened.
Yeah, and Taryn Perkins was spying him every time. Yeah. That's why he wasn't really rushing the passer, I think. And it worked. It worked. I mean, I'm curious to see what Suntarian Perkins is going to look like against more traditional drop-back passers like a Garrett Nussmeier.
That's right next week.
I'm curious because he stayed down on the line to open this game, and then he did the drop-back and the spy, and I get it because T.J. Dottery, the stats are good enough, but I think it's been uneven for him to start. He would typically be, with the green dot on his helmet, the guy that would do the spine. Yep. But Suntarian Perkins is your best defensive player. You put him out there to do the spine. And, like, he had that great play on 3rd and 12 or whatever it was. Held Retzlaff to a three-yard gain. Looked like Patrick Willis chasing down Darren McFadden, man. I mean, he's a next-level player. But, man, the pass rush. I got his getting home and finishing plays. They're still not making those. The three turnovers on the fourth down, three straight fourth down stops. That's great. But interceptions and those big game-turning plays, still waiting for that to show up a little bit. But, man, what an encouraging day if you're an Ole Miss fan. I mean, like, coming into this one, I'll be honest, I think my pick was 40-32 Ole Miss. 45-10.
Yeah, everybody's was a lot closer.
45-10. Yeah, so I want all the national media who had that upset alert energy, and I was one of them. I'm not national media, but I want you to save that same energy and give Ole Miss the credit they deserve.
By the way, 4-0. 2-0 in the conference. I would expect Ole Miss to be in the top 25, right, Ben?
Yeah, you think so.
So
who left them out last week?
Nicole Auerbach.
Reese
Davis.
Reese!
What are we doing?
You're going to – and by the way, Reese, why is College Game Day going to Happy Valley next week? I get it. But, man, LSU Ole Miss will be a hell of a lot more fun.
A couple of non-football shout-outs, at least on the field today. I had a chance to visit with Alundis Bryce. Anybody that remembers him, he was fun to watch. I think he won number 22. Was a Chuckie Mullins Award winner. And a really good football player. Had a chance to visit. He's living in Oregon now. He's making a difference, and it was really cool getting to see him. Also, Sheldon Morris, former Ole Miss Rebel,
had a chance to visit. Sheldon Morris
had a chance to visit with him. And thirdly, if you were in attendance today, you heard Jannaro Wilson sing the national anthem, and he's incredible,
dude.
He's awesome. I've gotten to know him a little bit. He is a great guy. And by the way, when we finish this and I finish all this stuff I got to do, I'm going to post the entire national anthem to my Twitter/X feed. And you're going to love it. It was wonderful.
Never heard him before. Didn't know who he was.
Oh, he's great. And I kind of wish they would save me to next week.
Absolute stud. And I made, like, they tell us no cheering in the press box. Yeah, buddy, I made sure we clapped for that man. He took the top off of the topless Vaught Hemingway Stadium. It was awesome. So, yes, you know what? Give him a game. What's his name?
Jannaro Wilson.
Jannaro Wilson, you get a game sticker. From the drive home.
Yeah, and I'm going to take a page out of our friend Brian Haydad's playbook on Thunder and Lightning. When he says to our friends, and I may mess it up a little bit, but our friends that are serving our country here and abroad, God bless America. So, Haydad, that one's – I really appreciate that. And that was special
today. Made me feel all patriotic.
Well, that was special today, man. That was great.
It'd been awesome. It had been followed by a flyover and then kicking off against LSU instead of Tulane. You're right. They should have saved him for next week.
Well, he may not have been able to come.
Yeah, maybe. But he was amazing.
Yeah,
he was an absolute stud. Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday to Gracie.
13 years old today. I'm getting old, even though don't let the baby face fool you. More importantly, Ole Miss, at least for you, the Ole Miss fan, not for me. But Ole Miss is 4-0 after a 45-10 win over Tulane. An absolute clinical ass-whipping. Pretty impressive. Not something I expected. And goodness knows, if they can put that kind of effort together and string those type of efforts together back-to-back-to-back weeks and starting with LSU next week, because LSU hadn't done anything to scare you. They look gettable. Ole Miss will be in that contention playoff conversation by the end of the year. So nothing but good things, especially after a dominant win over Tulane. He's Brad Logan. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
At Brad Logan, COTE. Thanks to everybody for following along. Thanks to everybody for following both of us.
Yep.
It's been a privilege to be with you tonight.
Rebel Grove on three. Sign up today for $1. Got my snap judgments up. Chuck's got a column. We'll have full post-game reaction. Brad will be there, and we'll be back next week after LSU.
Thanks again to our friends, Mason, and everybody at Allen Samuels, of course, on the left, right past Kroger on the left, Allen Samuels, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. I'll get it right at some point. Go tell Mason we said hello, and thanks, everybody, for joining us.
Over 700 people tuned in right this minute. Will says, can't wait to be in the vault with my wife next weekend. You're
it's
not
gonna
the only
slammed.
One. It's going to be slammed. Like the stadium emptied out, man. I mean, look like Northwestern State, dude. Yeah. I don't blame y'all. I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, listen, y'all hung in there. The crowd turned up.
It was hot,
great.
Man.
It was hot as heck.
Yeah.
And we got a nice condition air-conditioned press box, so God bless y'all. It was a great crowd and an even better win for Ole Miss football. We'll be back after LSU. He's Brad. I'm Ben. See you later, folks. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.